As you know, Pastor started a series a few weeks ago called The Abundant Life. This year, we're focusing on what abundant life is. It's not just the name of our church, but abundant life is a certain way that God expects for us to live. And last week, Pastor began to talk about the voice of the stranger. And the abundant life that God wants us to have is found in the book of John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, there are several voices that were being spoken. And we're gonna just jump back on that and talk about how to move forward in the abundant life that God has for us concerning his voice. Amen?
Amen.
In John 10 verse 1, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follows him, for they know his voice." Verse 5. "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And then he said unto them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture." And verse 10 is where we will stop, but this is the foundation of this entire series that we've been teaching. The thief does not come except but to kill, to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Everybody say, more abundantly.
More abundantly.
God wants us to have more abundance. There's more to what God has for us as believers than just salvation. And here in John chapter 10, Jesus is painting a picture, and he's giving us direction and even revelation on how to enter into that abundant life or that abundant relationship with God. It's more than just, I come to church and I gave my heart to him. He began to describe a couple of kinds of life here. The first type of life he began to talk about, when Jesus says, "I'm the door of the sheep." He's talking about the sheepfold. He's saying that I'm the door. Coming into this door before I actually receive Jesus, we walk into that door of Christ, and after that, that's one part of what we get in this a life we have in Christ. We walk through the door. But then Jesus begins to shift, because he says, once you walk through the door, that after walking through that door, we're exiting from a life of sin and eternal damnation.
Amen.
And we're entering into a salvation relationship, or eternal life salvation. So when you walk through that door, you're no longer who you used to be. When you walk through that door, you are a new creature, as the Bible says. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to the person next to you and say, "You're looking at a new person right now." But see, a lot of people just kind of stop right there with their salvation. They kind of stop right there. And it's good that you're saved, but there's more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's more to what God wants. But then Jesus begins to explain this in the scripture. He shifts gears a little, and he says, now that you've come through the door, I want you to understand that I'm something else to you. I'm something else for you. I am the shepherd.
Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The shepherd. And he begins to explain what the shepherd is. You see, in this role, the shepherd takes a different position in our life. Jesus becomes the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank God for the good shepherd. Hebrews 13 and 20 says that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is taking a different position here. And the position that he's taking is that I don't just want you to be saved. I want you to have all that comes with being a born again, or in this illustration, a sheep. I want you to have the best as a sheep, and I'm a good shepherd to help you do that. Hallelujah. Amen. Found a quote the other day that says, without a shepherd, sheep are no flock. Without a shepherd, we're kind of wandering around. Without a shepherd, we're just kind of out there. You're bait for the enemy. Here's why it's so important to be a part of a local church. So I'm so thankful that we have a church and a pastor who teaches the word of God, because we would be lost without it. All the things that are happening in the world today, I'm so thankful to have abundant life as a covering and have a shepherd that will bring the word of God the way it's supposed to be brought. You're going to be lost without it. I can do it by myself. Well, that's what we think. And you see, Jesus begins to explain to us the importance of a good shepherd. Let me give some characteristics of a good shepherd, our God, Jesus. First of all, a good shepherd loves his sheep and develops a close, intimate relationship with them so that they know his voice and trust him. You see, here's why we come to church. Here's why you listen to the word. Here's why Joshua 1 and 8 says, meditate on the word day and night. Do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. It's about loving us. A good shepherd will love you and have a close, intimate relationship with you. God is never not speaking. God is never not loving you. Even in the most difficult, painful, sinful, ungodly things that we may get into, he's right there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Reminds me of my parents growing up. I remember my parents, and my mom would always say, you know, I love you. I love you. And I'm disciplining you because I love you. And it was like, no matter what, you know, after, no matter how difficult the situation was, how mad I was for getting disciplined or getting a spanking, you know what? My mom would be right there with her arms wide open. And it's like, now come on over here, baby. You know, I love you. And I'm like, what? What's that you just gave me? That didn't feel like love. If that's love, then give me the belt. I love you too. Understand this, that sometimes God will speak to us. Here's why we come to church. This is why it's so important to be sitting under the word of God, under the presence of God, because sometimes God loves us, and we know he does, but sometimes God will speak something through the speaker, through the man or the woman of God, through worship, through prophecy. It does just like, boom, just like, I love you, but you need this.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So a good shepherd will love the sheep and develop a close relationship with. And number two, a good shepherd understands the need of the sheep better than they understand themselves. He understands our needs. He knows what we need more than we do. We're going to get into this a little more, how it's important to hear his voice. A good shepherd searches out sheep when they go astray. You know, there's so many times in many of our lives, there's testimony after testimony of people listening to this live or watching this online. There's so many people that you were lost, and God sent a word, and God sent a man, and God sent a woman, and God sent that prophetic voice to you, and all of a sudden, here you are. You may have been in the club doing your thing, and all of a sudden, you're just like, music as loud as it could possibly be, and then boom, you hear the voice of God says, give me your life and give it to me now. God loves his sheep.
Amen.
And he will go after just one, not just the crowds. He'll go after just one. Here's another thing about a good shepherd. A good shepherd understands what threatens the sheep and what makes them sick.
Amen.
He understands that. See, that's why God gives us the promises. There's some of you are like, why is the word of God so important? Because that's God's instruction to watch over us, understanding us, that making sure that as the world and the enemy that we live in, the enemy that lives in this world attacking us, that we can see the threats coming.
Amen.
And know when it will come and bring harm to us. A good shepherd leads his sheep to fresh pastures and fresh water. Hallelujah. Don't you love it when God just continue to refresh our spirits with the word? Continue to refresh our spirits with his presence. Amen. I love that fresh pasture and fresh water. And a good shepherd goes ahead of the sheep and prepare a path. And that's what Jesus did for us. The Bible says in John chapter 10, but he begins to warn us a little more. And let's go a little further about shepherd. And we're going to talk about the stranger. Because as we read earlier in John chapter 10, he warns us about the voice of other things coming our way, even though the shepherd loves us. Verse 5 of John chapter 10 says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Here's what we must understand. If we're going to walk into the abundant life and live in the abundant life that God wants us to live in, you've got to be able to recognize God's voice. You also have to be able to recognize the voice of the stranger. Because there are voices that are speaking. Stranger is basically defined as one who does not belong and one that is interfering with outright. The enemy will come into your life and begin to speak, and Jesus begins to spell out here the importance of not listening to the voice of a stranger. You know what the voice of a stranger does? It mimics the voice of the Father, or it tries to mimic the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd's voice is speaking, but then you got all these other voices that are speaking, and you got to know the voice of God before any other voice. When those voices are speaking, you got to know. I remember as a kid, my mom would leave and my dad would leave and they would go to the store and we had to stay in the house, and there were five of us. I was the oldest. And one of the instructions were, when they left this house, they said, listen, we're about to leave. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who knocks on this door. I don't care who it is. It could be I remember this so many times. Every time it was a different person, but she'll go as high as, I don't care if it's the President of the United States of America. If they knock on that door, you do not open that door. I don't care what they say, who they say they are. And I remember just trying to be small. What if it's grandma? If it's your grandmother, you leave her out there. The only voice you open up for is my voice. Or your dad's voice. And I remember so many times where it's so tempting. And that, you know, you're sitting in the house and you hear it, knock, knock, knock. Someone knock on. You know, I live in the hood. We didn't have doorbells and all that other stuff. It was a knock. And you could tell knocks too. You know a knock. You know, when you get to the point of knowing the voice of God, you can know a type of knock. I knew when there was a salesman knocking on the door. I knew when there was a Jehovah's Witness knocking on the door. One of your friends knocking on the door. And he'd be like, who is it? They say, who it is? It's like, I can't open the door. Why? My mama said, I cannot open this door for nobody but her. See, we got to get to that place where you can recognize the voice of God. Amen. Because there are other voices. The voice of the stranger is disguised in many styles. Let me give you a few of them. There's the voice of condemnation. You see, when the voice of God is speaking and God wants us to have abundant life, the voice of condemnation comes. I am not worthy of God's abundance. I can't really, why would I be so worthy to be blessed and all the stuff I've done and all the sin I've done? Why would God do this for me? Listen, that's the voice of condemnation. And you cast that down in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's the voice of isolation. There's that voice that tells you, nobody cares, I'm going to be all by myself. And so you sit alone and you go through this pity party and really want people to say something to you. But when they say something to you, nothing is ever wrong. You ever seen those people? It's like, you know, what's going on? Nothing. And they isolate themselves. And they say, I'm not going to church because I walked through church and, you know, three people never spoke to me, or this person didn't even look at me. And I mean, I have a question for the people that always say, no one spoke to me. Did you speak to them? Amen. Turn to the person next to you. He's talking to you. I don't know if you know that or not. There's the voice of isolation. There's the voice of fear of missing out. There's that voice of, oh my gosh, if you don't do this now, you're going to miss out. It's never going to happen for you. Listen, you've got to stay where God told you to stay. Don't be so afraid. Listen, the voice of God said to you, people often ask me, what is God's will for my life? Let me give you that answer right now. That the will of God for your life is the last thing that God said to you. And we start hearing these voices, and we start walking into this place of, I'm going to miss out if I don't hurry up and get married. And that could be the biggest mistake of your life. I'm going to miss out. I'm going to miss out if I don't go to this party. No, you won't. You're going to gain. The fear of missing out is a voice that constantly speaks. And I don't know who it is today, but that's a voice that you become very familiar with. That's a stranger's voice that's been telling you. And so you've been jumping from one thing to the next and changing this and changing jobs and changing cities and changing relationships and changing this and all these things. You're just changing, trying to change your style, trying to change your hair, everything just to fit in. And God says, no, listen, don't listen to the voice of the stranger. Listen to my voice. Hallelujah. There's the voice of independence. This voice is a voice that I can do this on my own. I don't need no one. I got this. I got my degree. I got my money. I got my career. I need no one telling me what to do. Oh, you're so wrong. Remember that we're sheep and we must be in a flock and we must have a shepherd that oversees us. And I'm going to tell you something. You think you're all by yourself. You think you got it, but the enemy is setting you up. Listen, all you got to do if you want to understand what it means to be alone and be isolated and independent, look at Discovery Channel. You ever see how the enemy works in Discovery Channel? There's a lot you can learn from the Bible watching the Discovery Channel. I watch Discovery Channel all the time. I'm going to tell you something. If I was an animal in the Discovery Channel, one animal I would not want to be is the wildebeest. You ever see how the wildebeest, I was in Africa and I saw this with my own eyes. I saw a herd of wildebeest in person. It's a beautiful thing. But I've watched it for years on Discovery Channel. And it's just how the enemy set people up, just like this. Here they are, all these wildebeest, thousands of them. And one wildebeest decides he's going to drink water all by himself. He over there just having fun. I got this. I'm not a follower. I got this. I'm going to drink all by myself. But what he doesn't understand is that, as the Bible says, that the lion, the enemy is like the lion. He roams around, and he's spotting out. He's not looking for the herd. He's looking for that one person that's independent, that don't need God, that don't need church and prayer, and I don't need all this stuff. I got this. And so they're sitting there just with his head down, and then when they come back from commercial, you see them all just like, they always got that guy with that sexy accent that's like, he killed them. You know, it's like, he never saw it coming. If I was a wildebeest in the jungle, I'd be like, I'd be like, hey, man, where y'all going? Going over there to get something to drink. Where, over there? Yeah. Man, don't go over there, man, by yourself. I'm going to tell you that right now. You always got that person like, well, man, ain't nothing wrong with doing this. I can do this. I can get high. Man, I can go out and have sex is all I want to. I'm good. It's never going to happen to me. I can drink. It's not going to ever happen to me. And, I'm like, no, man, don't go over there. Why? Man, them lions are over there. Man, ain't no lions over there. You know what I was like, oh, please, look. See all them cameras over there? That's the Discovery Channel. God is saying the same thing to us today. We've got to be on the lookout. And listen, don't scatter yourselves. You got to be with the flock. You got to have a shepherd. You got to be a part of a local church. That's where the blessings are. Slap the person next to you and say, look out for them cameras. Look out for those cameras. Discover the cameras in your life. I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time. Hallelujah. Here's the next voice, the voice of religion. It's a big voice. The voice of religion is just so caught up into the things of God and man-made worship. Everything is about religion, and they're missing the blessings. They're missing the abundance, and they put themselves in this place where I can't do this. Why? Because it's not God. I'm waiting on God to speak to me. They're always speaking in tongues, no matter what, they always, yeah. And please don't mess. I'm not making fun of anyone. And if you're upset in here right now, then guess what? I'm talking to you right now. But here's the deal. But you got these people, they're so religious. And they miss the true abundance because they're so religious in their spirit. And they like literally like float everywhere they go. They can't do anything without being religious. Smell of it. Of religion is smells. And they just can't stop being religious. Now, I'm not saying not be Christian, but they just can't, you know, You know some of these people. That's like, why today, Super Bowl? Listen, I couldn't have religious people around me. Not watching the Super Bowl. You'll see religious people at the Super Bowl. Oh, turn that off. That commercial about beer. Oh, no. I got my heart from that. Or at halftime, you want to pray. Please understand. There are so many voices that are speaking to us. Don't allow the voice of religion to block out the voice of the Father, the voice of the shepherd. He has so much more for you. Our year is themed around Psalms 103. Just look at the first few verses of Psalms 103, verse 1. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Yeah. David said this. He says, let all that I am praise the Lord. Didn't say that I wasn't going to have issues. Didn't say that you weren't going to have other voices coming at you. He says, but let all that I am praise the Lord. And with my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And may I never forget the good things he has done for me. You know, we've talked about this before. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And then he goes on to begin to talk about some of the good things. Maybe this applies to your life. He says, he forgives me of all my sins, heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, come on, somebody receive that right now. That's the abundant life. Anything else is a lie. Anything else you hear other than God wants good things for your life, it's a lie. A lie is basically a false statement made with the intent to deceive. I'll give you my definition. It's a perversion of the truth fueled by the devil. I don't listen to the voice of the strangers or strangers. They speak. But you've got to ignore it. You have to ignore it. You know, you ever seen babies are the best at ignoring? When a baby don't want to listen to you, they just won't listen. You'd be like, hey, yeah, ooh, you're good. The baby be like, you hear me? You hear Uncle talking to you? You hear Mommy talking to you? The enemy is sending out lies. Anything other than what the Word of God says about you is a lie. You know what lies does? Lies, it robs us of our time. It talks about the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It will rob you of your time. Lies rob us of our purpose. It robs us of our life, our power, and, of course, our abundance. And what God wants us to see today, that we are to have this abundance. But how we have this abundance, we cannot just listen to the voice, or not listen to the voice of the stranger, but we must listen to the voice of the shepherd. One of the most popular shows on television is the show called The Voice. Many people have seen this show, and this show is actually pretty good. I don't watch a lot of TV, but every now and then I find someone on there and just they just have it, you know. And what's the interesting thing about the show? The basis of this show is that that their people are singing, and the only way that these judges recognize who are understand them is simply by their voice. They've never seen them, and they turn their chair around and they just listen for their voice. They do blind auditions, and these auditions, they basically are listening for the voice of the person and seeing what do they have. And every now and then there's this person that comes out that everybody turns around. They heard that voice. And they turn around and often they're shocked by what they see based on the, no way in the world that's coming from that little bitty body. There's no way in the world you're singing that much soul, girl. You got it. You know, and it's just amazing that the voice really talks, shows us how we need to learn to just listen for the voice of the Father. Not to look at man and not to look for promises of man, but the voice of the Father. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 says this. Love this. It says, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Like the show, The Voice. It's amazing how two different people can be sitting in a service. And two different people hear two different things.
That's right.
One will hear that the Lord has divine direction for you, and God has a purpose and a calling for you, and the other one will say, God never said anything in that service. We've got to tune our spirits. We've got to get ourselves to a place where we can hear the voice of God. But what makes it different? Why is it that one person can hear one thing and the other person hears nothing? Because we've got to upgrade. We got to upgrade our spirits. We got to move from that place of just eternal life over into a place of abundant life. And we've got to get out of this, I'm just saved, God, there's more for me. We got to upgrade. Upgrade is so awesome. You ever seen something upgrade? Like, this is first iPod that ever came out. How many glad you ain't got to walk around with this anymore? This thing is so thick. It's heavy, too. But they began to upgrade. And then they went down a little further. Then it came out with something almost as heavier, but just it's half the size. Then it kept going down, bringing it down further. It's amazing how culture understands the importance of upgrading, but Christians stay in the same place their entire Christian life. They're still saying the same thing, still dealing with the same issues. You know, we've got to upgrade. Everybody says it's time to upgrade. What keeps us from upgrading? Well, here's one thing. One thing that keeps people from upgrading to hear the voice of the shepherd versus the voice of the stranger is maturity. You got to mature. How do you mature? Well, we know that we mature by allowing God's word to be in our lives. As we just quoted a few minutes ago, Joshua 1 and 8, meditate on the word day and night. Do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. You've got to mature. And maturity often keeps people from hearing the voice of the Lord. You just can't make this a Sunday thing. You just can't come when you have a crisis. You see, we're talking about the marriage seminar and the marriage conference that we're having, and a lot of people are like, oh, I don't need that, I got it going on. That's when you should come. You should dig in your marriage when your marriage is at its best. If you want your marriage to work, you got to keep working on your marriage. Listen, if you want your life to be blessed, you want to live in abundance, you got to do something that causes you to abound. You got to grow. You got to take classes. You got to study the word. You got to meditate on the word. You got to listen to worship and not just the garbage that's out there in the world. Turn off the news and turn on the good news.
Amen.
That's how you mature. But maturity keeps people often from hearing the voice of the shepherd. Number two, the method. One reason why some people cannot hear the voice of the shepherd is the method in which one is trying to hear. Sometimes you can't hear with all the noise and all the, sometimes you gotta cut things off.
Amen.
There are times, even this morning, I just put on, I have certain playlists. I got my church playlist, I got my devotional playlist. And so when I'm preparing to preach, I just put that on, and it's the presence of God that comes in the room. Nothing wrong with the other worship music I listen to, but there are certain songs that just get me there.
Amen. That's right.
And so you got to make sure that you are putting yourself in the right environment to be able to hear the shepherd's voice. The method by which you're doing it may not always be clear enough for you to hear. You got to sometimes turn it off. Amen. Amen. Number three, the third reason why some people don't hear the voice of God is the motive. Why do you want to hear his voice? Some people want to hear the voice of God so they can tell people, God just spoke to me. Yes. yeah, 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 yeah. The motive has to be right. You've got to be in a place of God. You know what? I don't want anything out of this but just to hear your voice. I want to know that you're real. Speak, Lord. I'm here. Your sheep. I want to hear your direction. I don't want to do this on my own. What are you saying, Lord? And that's why the Bible talks about getting into a quiet place. Getting into a quiet place. You see, the shepherd, real shepherds, they actually do this. They spend time with their sheep before their sheep ever grow. They're there with them. They spend the night with them. They lay out in the fields with them. And they call them one by one. They know the name. They know that he knows the name of every one of his sheep, and they hear his voice, and those sheep will come. You know what? They have them. They know there's no other motive. But when they hear the voice of a stranger, sometimes they're not strong enough by themselves. And here's why it's important to have people in your life praying with you, people that you fellowship with, people that you do life, abundant life together. We got people we do life together, and then we've got to choose some people that we do abundant life together. Hallelujah. I want some people I'm doing abundant life with. Why? Because abundant life people will tell you that the lion is over there trying to snatch you, or the wolf is over there trying to get you. That's the voice of a stranger. And it sounds so similar sometimes. Hey, come on over here. Hey, this is for you. They're trying to keep you from being blessed. You know, it's, you know, you ever seen how the enemy will talk Christian? He'll talk Bible to even try to persuade you away from the promises of God. They don't want you blessed. They're jealous of you. All God has done in your life. Look at you. That's the enemy. And have you hating people that love you? Have you pulling away from people that have their best interests? The Bible says in Philippians 1 in verse 9, I'm going to wrap this up. I hope you've been blessed by this today. It says, I pray that you love, that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in the knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. God is telling us here that he wants us to grow. He wants us to grow until he comes. He wants us to move from this place of eternal life into this place of abundant life. And how we move from the place of eternal life to a place of abundant life is not just saying, I don't want to hear these voices, but I want to tune in to the voice of the shepherd. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You see, you've got to tune in. You got to tune in because, listen, there's actually research that's been done that the older you get in life, the harder it is to hear certain frequencies. It's truth. It's actual research out there. As a matter of fact, 800 hertz, everybody should be able to hear at this level. 800 hertz is everyone should be able to hear at this frequency. This basically means you're alive. But the older you get, you start to lose ability to hear certain frequencies. 12,000 hertz is hard for anyone over 50 to hear something. There's certain things you can be playing it, they won't even hear. You say, you hear that? No, what's going on? I don't know. All the young people, they hear everything. At 15,000 hertz, it's difficult for anyone over 40 to hear certain sounds that people at 50 can't ever hear. At 17 hertz, the frequency is only, this is proven, this is a frequency that only teenagers can hear. And you know what's so powerful about this is this. Is that many believers have the same challenge hearing the voice of God when he's speaking, but they're not able to hear his voice because they've gotten old or they've gotten stale. They've stopped programming themselves. They've stopped maturing. They've stopped listening to the things that will get them to a place to hear the voice of the Father. I'm going to read another scripture to you here. The Bible says in John 8:44, and I'm going to close. We got to get rid of the barriers in our lives. We got to block. We got to get those things that are blocking us from hearing the shepherd's voice. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Remember, he's a deceiver. He's a stealer. He wants to block you out. He will tell you things you don't need. Like, don't listen to this message. Don't listen to that service. Don't read your Bible. Don't do what your parents tell you to do. They don't know. They're trying to keep you from being, you know, successful. They don't understand who you are. But Jesus says in John 15, in verse 5, he says that I am the vine, and you are the branches. And those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. So I got to get rid of these things that are keeping me from hearing the voice of the Father. I got to get myself in a place where I can hear his voice calling me. Time doesn't allow me to really get deep into this. I know some of you probably will stand with your notes. Let me give you this real quickly. I'm going to take 1 minute and a half to give you this. God speaks in many different ways. Matter of fact, Joyce Meyer said this was so powerful. She says that God speaks in many ways. So we have to be careful not to get our minds made up about how we want him, how we want to hear from him. Amen. God will speak. The shepherd voice speaks often in many ways. Can I just give you a couple of those ways real quick? One way is through the promises of his word. God is often speaking through the promises of his word. Read your Bible, meditate on your Bible, have that word before you, because that's how God often speaks. I don't have to come to church before I hear God speak to me. Number two, God speaks through praise and worship. There's been so many times as worship has been happening, not just here, anywhere, in my car, at a little small church, piano being played, guitar, it doesn't matter. I've heard the voice of the Lord speak, the shepherd challenging me to hear his voice and to follow his direction. The shepherd speaks through the power of prayer. The power of prayer. God will speak through prayer. This is why it's important for us to spend time in prayer or find someone that can pray. You may not know how, but find someone. There's been times in my life I knew some people that could pray. I didn't just ask them to pray for me. I literally went to them. I took their hand and put their hand on my head. Pray for me. Because your prayers, I know, go straight to heaven. And there are people you got to have in your life that will pray. And as they pray, as they lay their hands on you, as they agree with you, you will begin to hear the voice of the shepherd. That's the first phase. But the other part is, will I obey what the voice of the shepherd says? Another way that God speaks is through the prophetic word. God speaks through us. The shepherd speaks through the prophetic word of God. And there are often men and women have a prophetic anointing on their life. We have a pastor that's a prophet. And I spend a lot of time with him. One minute he loves to prank, if you know him. He's a prankster. And he loves to prank. He could be pranking and having something just to set you up, just trying to get a laugh and get something, you know, think is funny. But October comes around, he got all these gadgets and stuff he puts around. And he'll move from that place of being a prankster to a prophet and say something to you that, oh my gosh, only God knew. And so God often speaks through the prophetic word. And then God speaks through pastors and teachers. Amen. They don't always stand at the pulpit and do it. But this is why we must allow in our flock, in our herd, or whoever we're rolling with, people that are moving in the same direction that I'm moving in. And that is in the direction of the abundant life. Father, we thank you.